Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for March 5th, 2007, episode 18. Welcome back, everybody, to the Angry Admins Podcast. My name is Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
In this podcast, we talk about technology at work, gadgets at home, and where we think information culture is headed. We got quite a few news stories this week. Joe, why don't you start us off?
So, first story on our list this week. If you've ever shopped at Best Buy and felt like you were getting ripped off, you may very well have been. Because it's been confirmed this week by Best Buy themselves that they have a secret internal website. Secrets in quotes, by the way. But internal website that when you go to the store and you say, hey, I saw this for $199 online before I came to the store, and they look it up on the website at the store and it shows it at $249. You know, they're like, well, I don't know. The price must have changed since you got here. And what it actually is they have a separate intranet that employees use to look up prices in the store that is different from the prices you see online. I've actually had personal experience with this actually over a year ago. I went into a store in Indiana and they told me that the price was different. So I went home and printed it out and came back to the store and got that price. And they tried to tell me, well, we don't match those internet prices. And I was like, but I can order it online and have it picked up in the store. Can't you just give it to me? And they finally did.
Right.
But I don't know. This just comes across as really shady. I mean, Best Buy, they're kind of in a gray area a lot of times on whether or not they're using shady practices. They've actually been sued in the past by Ohio and New York State, and actually had to pay New Jersey, one of the other states, $135,000 to settle a suit, which was based on hundreds of customer complaints. It was separate from this issue, but these big companies, they're trying to worry about their bottom line, and they always come up with new ways to rip people off. And
I think they said, oh, well, we have this site, but it's just for reference for our employees, and it's not our purpose to mislead.
Yeah, they were really unclear. They didn't actually say that they're supposed to use this to show customers a different price. And so, the state attorneys are actually still looking into it to see if there's going to be a suit filed or not. They're claiming 100% cooperation, but obviously they're trying to keep from getting a lot of money handed out to people. So.
Right. Yeah. Freaking.
Yeah. Best Buy, I always feel just kind of cold about them. I mean, they're kind of a necessary evil for a lot of cities because it's the first really big electronic store that goes in usually.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than nothing, but most of the time you can find it cheaper online anyway, even with shipping. So it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
Something else happened this week that was pretty interesting. As of March 1st, federal law mandates that all 13-inch and above televisions sold in the U.S. must have an ATSC tuner. Versus the regular NTSC. So this is ramping us into the digital age where televisions no longer support the over-the-air analog broadcast signals. So I have a funny feeling that if we went down the street to the major retailers that we would still find NTSC televisions
right.
there.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what the enforcement is or what happens if they're not in compliance, but maybe all the old televisions are like on a bargain basement sale right now.
Yeah, sure. Maybe.
But anyway, so that was my, as of March 1st, they were supposed to do that. And I guess the larger televisions have to come under this rule at some point later.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. And so that's ATSC, which is not necessarily a high-def signal, right? It's just a digital signal.
Right, right.
So they can free up some of that bandwidth. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I think overall this is a good thing. It's been promised for what? Wasn't the first deadline like 2005 and they kept pushing it back every year or something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they seem pretty set on this 2009 deadline for like all digital broadcasting. So, I mean, TikTok, we're running out of time.
Well, we are seeing them in stores now. So I think they can finally start maybe enforcing this. But, yeah.
Mm. Well, I don't think having too few televisions is really a problem because I think at last count there were, in the average household, there are more televisions than people.
So. Yeah, that's usually about right.
Even for people like at or below the poverty line, that's true. So.
Gotta love it.
What else we got?
So Adobe is finally entering the web app market. And they've actually, so to be fair, they have actually, they do have a product out there called Adobe Remix, which is like a video editing thing, but it's only through this one specific site. But Adobe is looking to take Photoshop online, and according to their CEO, it's going to be within the next 3 to 6 months. And to me, this is a big deal because the reason they're doing this, according to the CEO, is because they're worried about Google coming in and taking away their market share with a web app. So, I mean, it's amazing to see a company like Google, who started out with search and then moved into web apps with Gmail and is now spreading out. People are worried about them coming in and taking away some of their business. And yeah. Adobe, who has really currently the only conflict is Picasa, which isn't really much of a conflict with Adobe in my mind.
No, I wouldn't say that. I
mean, maybe with Photoshop Elements, but even then, it's Picasa is a really, you know, you can only do a few things with it. It's more of a file, you know, photo organizing,
photo management, service,
photo management. So, but I do think this is, you know, I think it's interesting to see companies moving more and more into web apps. I'm wondering if it's really going to be able to sustain, if people are really going to adopt them. I know we will, you know, we'll try them out and see if we really like them. But, you know, on a day-to-day basis, am I using Google Docs for anything? No. Mm-hmm. It's more of like a last resort thing. So if I have the choice between Photoshop on my desktop and Photoshop on the web, I'll use it on my desktop.
Right. So fast forward, say, 3.5 to 5 years in the future, if I dug like a Pentium 1 out of my closet,
right,
and all my applications are on the web, would I be... Okay.
See, that, and that I think is the intriguing part. That's a good point, because now the only question you'd have is do you have enough RAM? Because Firefox, it seems like, is using more and more RAM. Well, you know, if I have Gmail and Google Docs and Notebook, and then, you know, say Flickr and all these Web 2.0 apps doing all this Ajax on the client side, more and more memory is getting used up. Mm-hmm. So you may have to add some memory to that P1, but it may, you know, the processing really isn't done there locally, so it may work.
So how long before Google comes out with their own line of hardware, like a thin client that just does Google apps?
I don't know. It could happen.
Yeah, we'll
they really see. Haven't dipped into hardware except for that one search.
Well, they have the Google appliance.
The Google appliance that's right. Kind of for search for corporates, but I don't know. It's a potential. It could happen.
Interesting.
The whole web app development to me is just a fascinating thing. It's, you know, it is the return of the thin client, really.
Mm-hmm.
So what else do you see going on?
Well, we had this the new crazy NVIDIA graphics card shipping this week that are 128 cores.
That's just stupid.
So what was this thing? $3,000 or something?
Yeah, I think the top end one was $3,000.
Yeah. So anyway, it's supposed to be really good for graphics processing and video editing and stuff like that. So they said Apple was really happy to see this because it's going to be in the new the high-end Mac desktops, mm-hmm. Since a lot of people are using Final Cut now for video cutting. I don't know. I'm not a fan of the graphics cards that take up more than one slot in your PCs or the ones that sound like a lawnmower when they're running.
I'm with you there.
It is impressive that they can do all that, but I don't know if it's really worth it or necessary.
Yeah, you know, the only thing, you know, the bigger these cards get and the more fans they have on them and the more power they're drawing, I mean, you're plugging cords in. I mean, it's really like another motherboard almost. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the size of some motherboard, some of these cards. And I'm wondering if they're ever going to just finally do away with the card and build another slot into your board that's similar to like a CPU slot that's just for your GPU, mm-hmm. and then have like a secondary bank of memory for your graphics RAM.
Mm-hmm.
I know it would be a big change from the current scheme of things, but it seems like they need to do away with this whole method.
We know AMD and who is it? AMD and ATI are in bed together now.
Right, that's so true, yeah.
I mean, they could potentially make a motherboard which just has a drop-in chip for your GPU and, you know, the rest is this nice little thin motherboard. I don't know, we'll see. Let's see, what else do we have?
So iTunes this week, actually today, released an update, 7.1. The reason this is interesting is because it's actually mostly just compatibility issues with Vista, which I was glad to see them finally get this out. You know, we talked about this in the past. You know, I was pretty disappointed that they didn't have something ready to go that worked out of the box with Vista, but pretty much just bug fixes, and there's actually a couple things that it still has some trouble with on Vista. But the only other real feature I saw that was added was full screen cover flow, which really is only interesting if you're really into listening to music a lot. And it's kind of like a throwback to the old days of flipping through your CDs, which sometimes I do miss, you know, just seeing a text
right
field. It's like I'm looking at a database, and it kind of loses some of its
artistic.
Yeah, you know, you miss out on that, and you don't really see what the album cover looks like anymore.
It's like you're looking at an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, yeah. So I like that, you know, I can play it right there in the full screen cover flow and just click on the album art to see it. I was hoping for a little more when I saw that was out. I was hoping for the iPhone interface.
Right.
Where, you know, it flips around and you've got your track listings.
Yeah.
So, because you can't just pick a certain track. You just start at the beginning and you got to skip through, almost like you're on a CD player again.
Yeah. I don't know. I looked at it on your Mac. I downloaded it. It didn't have any problems, but I don't have any music on my Mac on this one. All my iTunes are on the other machine.
Right.
But I don't know. I like the full screen. I think it's worthy.
Yeah,
I think it's
too.
A pretty cool addition. I think it's just the natural thing that they're carrying CoverFlow. It seems to be, they seem to iron out the bugs with it now. And
yeah, it's a lot smoother.
Like it. So I think this is going to be their new signature thing is the whole CoverFlow.
I think so too. Yeah. And, you know, up until now, I didn't really use it because it didn't really have any value to me because it was so small that I couldn't really look at the album art, but I think I'll use the full screen. I really think I will, but we'll see. We'll see over the next month if I really actually use it.
What I wish they would do is come out with like a USB receiver that would allow my Mac remote, my Apple remote, to work with my desktop, my PC desktop.
Oh, that would be nice.
So
that'd be really nice.
I could scroll through my music, you know, across the room. I mean, I don't have a Media Center PC, but you know, you could use this to go through your cover flow and go through tracks and just basically have this nice little music remote while you're sitting on the couch doing whatever. And I think they could make it pretty cheap. So
yeah, I'm surprised Belkin or somebody hasn't made that. I mean, all you really need is an infrared receiver, and then everything else could be done in software. So
Yeah, it seems like they do that for $20 or $40.
Maybe we should make that.
Maybe we should.
Let's take this part out and then make millions.
All right, we'll edit this out.
So, anything else you saw on the news this week?
Well, there was the thing about the movies. Associated Press reported that apparently the major movie distribution channels are trying to go more digital. And I guess the way they do it now is when you go to the movie house, the movies are still basically delivered by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't allow them really much flexibility. So if something starts to bomb and they have it on 6 screens, then now they're just kind of screwed.
Yeah.
But they're trying to go to a more like satellite or a broadband distribution for all their movies so that if a movie becomes a smash hit over the weekend and everybody is selling out and they have like another movie that's not doing well, they could reconfigure the theater very fast to like add more screens to a certain movie or maybe, you know, just and then dump a bad movie off of a few screens. The other benefit to this would be that independent movies or small run stuff or art flicks that, you know, you could have like a lot of these movies that you never have a chance to see actually at the major theaters like the Cinemark and the AMC and all that kind of stuff. So
that would be nice.
That would help the movie theaters and it would help the audience, you know, as far as the consumers have more choices. But as far as the whole movie theater thing that goes, I'm not really sure that there's much of a future there. I mean, I guess I can understand going to the movies based on kind of what I call the baseball game effect.
Yeah.
And that's in, like me personally, I don't like really like baseball, but I like going to a baseball game.
Right.
Because it's a sunny day, you know, you got the soda, you got the popcorn, you got the peanuts, you got the fans, you got the girls walking by. And I mean, you're at a baseball game and you have the hot dog and you just have the whole baseball experience.
Right.
Which
pure
is
Americana.
Good. Right. But I mean, as far as actually just watching baseball, I don't care that much about it. And I think movies, that there's part of that too. Like you go to the theater, you buy the big nasty popcorn, you get the big Coke.
Right.
You almost pee on yourself right at the end because you can't hold it. And you're in the theater and the people are talking and you know, you're sticking to the seat, but it's like this big, it takes you back to when you were a kid and you saw Star Wars in this big dark theater, and it was so loud with the THX and all this stuff. But, you know, the home theaters now are getting so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I sit on my couch, I don't stick to it, which is awesome. And I can pause it. And I don't know. I'm just, what do you think? Do you think that the big movie houses are going to be around in 10 years? Or,
you know, less and less I go to the theater. You know, now that we have, like you're saying, nice home theaters and then things like Netflix and then soon, you know, Apple TV coming out. It's like, or, you know, the 360 high def movies. I just don't see the draw anymore other than exactly like what you said. And unless they can come up with some way, you know, lower the prices or, you know, maybe with this rapid delivery, they can do something where, like, you know, show independent movies or movies that are hard to find. But right now, the only draw is just going and having that feeling. And you know, yes, it is still better because it's like 12 speakers instead of 7
or
whatever. And it's a gigantic screen. But,
well, here's the thing, too. Movie makers are making movies to be shown on the big screen.
Right.
And they understand that high def is here.
Right.
So when you watch, say, Spider-Man 3 one day on your video iPod, it's going to look like junk because there's going to be so much detail in every scene that you're not going to be able to make sense out of it. Right. And the only way that it makes sense is on a 46-plus inch high-definition TV or on a giant theater screen.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, being that, I mean, if there's a ton of special effects, sure, I want to go sit in a theater and partake of these giant explosions because that's awesome. But a comedy or a drama, I don't really care about going to the theater to go see that. So I'm not sure. The other thing, too, is like starting last year, I think we had a couple of movies that were released on DVD the same day that they came out at the theater.
Yeah.
Because that protects, I mean, you think, well, they're hurting themselves, but not really, because that's protecting them against all the piracy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Spider-Man 3 were to come out on DVD the same day that it hit the theater, the sales would be insane because people, given the choice, I think a lot of people would just snag it off the shelf and go home and watch it and save themselves. I mean, how much cheaper is it to buy a DVD for $20 versus take your family to the theater?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So I think the market that's still there is you've got your high school kids and, you know, people in that age who just want to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And so they can go see a movie and they're going to always blow whatever it takes. They don't care because they don't understand.
It's their parents' money.
But the other thing that I think, you know, there's really, I think, a market maybe that's available for like a boutique movie shop where it's 20 seats, you know, and still the big 40-foot screen, you know, some gigantic screen. And it's just a small crowd. You know, you get the whole place to yourself. The thing's spotless. You could even have, you know, better food, better popcorn, just something to just kind of separate it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like espressos or, you know, something.
I could dig it if there weren't kids talking and phones ringing and babies whining and stuff like that.
And or even if they had, you know, it was still a lot of seats, but it's like 21 and over, something like that. I think there's a market there for that. And I think people would still pay the high price just to get out and have like a nice experience. It's just like, you know, I can make a gourmet meal at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's different because it's a lot more effort to make a gourmet meal than just to buy a DVD. But, you know, there's still that desire for service. And right now there's just no service in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really losing by going there.
Right. Well, I tell you what, man, if I build a house, I'm going to have a giant room with like 12 big seats in it. And that room is going to be I'm going to have a giant projector.
Yeah.
And that's going to be my internet surfing is going to be on this giant wall sized thing.
Man.
And my World of Warcraft is going to be there. And my DVDs are going to be on surround. And it's going to be pitch black. And I'm going to just turn into Gollum right there in that room.
There you go, man. That's what it's all about.
In the toolbox this week, we want to talk about a product that we saw over at dailycupoftech.com. It's called Synergy, And for those of you out there that have more than one computer that you regularly work on, this may be the win for you. I installed this today on my two home systems. My home PC is running XP Home, XP Service Pack 2. The install went fine on both. This is the 1.31 version, the latest stable. We'll have released the links in the show notes. But what this product does is it allows you to share your mouse and keyboard between as many computers as you want. So in my case, I have two computers which are pretty much side by side, and I had a USB KVM switch, which, you know, so if I wanted to work on the other PC, I hit a button, I wait a couple seconds, and then the mouse and the keyboard suddenly start to work on the other one, and then I, when I'm done, I hit the button again, and then it moves back. So that's kind of clunky, and I don't know, it would hang up, and it seems like every few weeks I'd have to, the machines would boot wrong, and it would, the USB thing wouldn't wake up right, so I'd have to power everything down and start over. And I just really have been missing this good KVM solution for a while. So what Synergy is just a small software app that you install on your machines that you care about, and you set one up as the server, which has your mouse and keyboard on it, and the other ones are just clients. And you configure this, and you kind of tell it through this little, through the GUI, where the machines are in relation to each other, like computer B is to the right of computer A, and vice versa. And then once you set this up, and then you start Synergy on both your machines, and suddenly it just works. Like your mouse just fluidly moves back and forth between both computers, just like, you know, just like it was native, or just like if you had two monitors on the same computer. It's just that fast. There's no waiting. It doesn't hang. It doesn't stall. The other thing that it does besides sharing your mouse and keyboard is that it lets you copy and paste between these two computers. So I know that's kind of a big thing if you're, you know, doing some sort of editing, or if you have a link on one computer in your browser and you want to cut and paste it into another browser or an email.
Nice.
Now you can do that. You just do what you normally do. You control C, control V. You can right click with the mouse and copy and paste that way.
Which you couldn't even do that at all with a standard KVM.
No, I mean, you're just kind of, everything over there is just kind of stuck over
there. Right, right.
Now, it won't do a few things. You cannot drag and drop Windows between the machines.
Okay.
Because really the machines are still physically separated.
Sure.
It will not let you drag and drop files between the two machines. It doesn't do that. So basically just the keyboard, the mouse pointer, and the cut and paste is what it's buying you. But this is open source. It's completely free. So based on what I'm seeing, it's really awesome. I had to read a little bit of the documentation to understand exactly what it wanted as far as setting up the client and server. It was pretty intuitive, but not 100% intuitive. So luckily they have the debugging kind of turned on. So if it does have a problem, then it's popping up kind of a DOS status window that just says, I can't connect.
Okay.
You know, or this client trying to connect to me is not in my permissions list. So it's kind of helping you, you know, like, hey, you need to do this in order for this to work great. But I would say after about 10 minutes of, you know, actually having to read the directions that, you know, it was up and running.
Okay.
I did try it with a few different applications, namely with games. It seems like Windows games that run in a window are fine. It degrades it a little bit, and it kind of hangs a little bit as you move from monitor to monitor. But I would say mostly it's still very fluid. Now, if you're doing some sort of application, which is, I'm guessing, DirectX takes over, if it's a full screen, like a full screen game, then it seems to want to, as soon as you move back to the computer that has the full screen application on it, it wants to minimize that.
Okay.
They do have a setting in there about, you know, don't take away foreground in the options, but it created some errors in World of Warcraft when we did that. So I think it's probably application dependent on whether that works or not. But for anything, like I say, running in a window, or if you're just doing general computing on more than one machine, it's really awesome. And then the link we have that we saw, somebody had like four different monitors set up, you know, on two different computers. And they had all these screens set up, and it really looks nice. And I showed Joe my big clunky KVM thing that I had rolled up and thrown on the floor. And I was like, hey, look, I don't need all that junk anymore. So, and anything that gets more cables out
Oh yeah,
from behind
definitely.
My computer, it's like a total win. So
yeah, I had my doubts about this software because, you know, I've used things that were supposedly doing this in the past, and it just never worked right. And it was amazing. It literally looked like you were using a dual screen monitor on mm-hmm. one PC,
right?
Except for that you couldn't drag Windows. I mean, it's like when you're using it and then you try to drag. I could see myself almost trying to drag Windows and stuff like I was on a dual
screen
because it's so natural.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the full screen thing is kind of a bummer, but. It runs really well in windowed mode, so that really doesn't matter. And I bet that full screen option that they have in there, if you're like watching a movie full screen, it probably would work fine.
Yeah, that
because
would
then
be
it's
okay.
Not like, you know, trying to turn constantly like it was in the game. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it was really impressive how well it worked, and
mm-hmm.
The fact that it runs on, doesn't it run on like OS 10, Linux, everything,
yeah.
Right?
Windows 95 or later, and OS 10.2 or later.
Okay.
So. Pretty much anything you got, Unix,
nice.
Linux, Windows, this thing is running. Now, we haven't tried it on the Macs yet. I might be able to do that this week and then post a thread in the forums if
okay.
I get to it. No promises because I'm a lazy guy.
Yeah, but I can imagine. I mean, it's really not doing anything super complicated.
Yeah.
Just...
The nice thing about this, too, is you're no longer under this USB cable length restriction.
Right.
So you could have a computer way on the other side of the room that all you have to be is connected on the network.
Yeah.
So,
well, you still need the video.
Right. But, I mean, if my whole computer is like 20 yards away,
mm-hmm.
all I have to be is just network connected. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't you still need video so you could have that second monitor?
I don't...
Because it doesn't do video.
No. But see, here's the thing. If I have a monitor and a computer
uh-huh.
on the other side of the room, and I'm at a monitor and a computer... far away.
Oh, so as long as you could see it from there.
Yeah, so that's the only caveat is I have to be line of sight to that
other
computer.
So if you had like a big screen.
Yeah, yeah. Or like if you're giving a presentation like in some big conference mm-hmm. room and you know, you've got say a laptop up on a table that's like 20 yards away, but
right.
you can see the projector
right.
and it's like projecting on the screen.
Yeah.
And you could just be way in the back, you know, chilling with your Dr. Pepper and you're just like driving stuff across the network.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
That would be pretty nice, man.
I could definitely see that being nice.
But kudos to the guys that put this together. It really works well and I'm really relieved that I'm going to be in a hardware KM-free environment now.
Very nice.
The nice thing too is that down in the tool tray, it gives you the little status. So you can right click and tell it, start this on startup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually an option and you can tell it, install the service when I log in or start the service as soon as you boot. I rebooted both the client by itself and the server by itself, and both times it was able to wake up on its own and just
nice.
Instantly reconnect without
Very
me
nice.
Having to tell it. And if your choice is to start it manually, you can always do that too. But wow, it just really works good. Okay, that's going to wrap up another week of Angry Admins. Feel free to stop by our website at angryadmins.com or download the show on iTunes. You can always stream the show straight from the website or download the MP3 there. We're going to have some forums out there, so if we come up with any information that was left out of today's show or any additions, we'll be sure to post those out in the forums. And in today's show notes, we'll have links to all the great stuff that we talked about. Until next week, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Biddy.
You guys stay angry.